Baker calling to order the meeting of the Big Tent Committee on this smoky morning for everyone. I hope that everyone on the call is at least safe, if not comfortable. And welcome back, Brad. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Good seeing you guys.
So today we're going to talk again about our strategic planning process. And I've asked Jeff not to run through in its entirety the PowerPoint and the rest of what we're all going to see tomorrow, because it doesn't seem like that's the best use of our time. So what I have asked Jeff to do is give us an update on the process of the plan. I think it's all in your inboxes, whether you've read it or not. I don't know, but to give us an update on the process, to give us an update on the public comments, to update us on some of the public comments that some of our commissioners have had concerns about and what we've done about that, and then for us to probably not have a recommendation, but to relook at the process for the future when we are going to vote on this and whether there's more work that we need to do. So if that's okay with everyone, we'll proceed. And if anyone has anything that they would like to add or subtract to that agenda, feel free. I remember a few weeks ago, we got a note from Commissioner Thorburn that she may have some other things that she needs to do this morning. So my hope is that we can get through this expeditiously, but at the same time, do our due diligence. So maybe this will be a short meeting, the first meeting of a very long weekend for all of us. So with that, if I don't see any hands, I'm going to turn this over to Jeff.
Commissioner, I have a hand up too.
So, if I could make a comment, I do have a few comments on some of the language, if we have time for that, please. And I do have to be done by 10:30.
Barbara, you're muted.
Of course, Commissioner Thorburn, that is what this meeting is for, is to hear the comments. And so the question for us is whether you'd prefer to start off with making a few comments, or whether you'd rather wait till after Jeff and others give their presentation.
No, I'll wait. I just need to be attentive to my time, because I do have another meeting at 10:30.
Okay, well, the rules for this meeting, this is a discussion. So if at any time in the discussion, any commissioner or staff for that matter needs to interject and say something, let's just do it then. And then we will have time afterwards, because I think the presentation will be fairly brief, to hopefully discuss at length and work through everyone's issues, concerns, and accolades. So Jeff, back to you.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So we will try to be very brief. This morning we'll have Rob kind of walk through where we are with the plan now, what changes or themes of changes we've made since you saw the last draft. And then I'll ask Carrie, who's done a ton of work, to make sure that we are especially attentive to the rural outreach concern that we heard through the process, about what efforts she and her team have gone through to make sure that rural communities are aware of what's going on and have an opportunity to provide us their feedback. And then maybe at the end, we'll have Rob kind of just walk us through here's like the next few steps. You know, things such as tomorrow you get to see our shiny smiley faces again as we brief the full commission on a more detailed presentation about the plan. And then if it's okay, I'd like to make some quick, just like closing comments, and then hopefully we'll have a really good discussion moving forward. So with that, Rob, do you mind?
All right, good morning, everybody. Just as a check, Nate, can you hear me okay? All right, thank you. So I just wanted to give you a highlight of the significant changes to the plan since you last saw it in June, and link that with comments we've heard. A set of comments we heard, and we think a lot of people didn't see a lot of our foundational work in the previous version of the plan. Conflict management, not enough emphasis on hunting and fishing, etc. So one of the changes you'll see in the plan is we've added a section titled Our Foundational Work, and it's an attempt to communicate, hey, we're still doing all this great stuff, and our plan is focusing on the things we think we need to change in the future. So that's one of them. The other thing to point out to you with the comments is we got a lot of great advice on the how we can do things better for a variety of topics: ecological processes, education and outreach, what are the top science research questions? And so a lot of that is too detailed for this plan, but I wanted to let you know we're earmarking all of those. And as we move to implementing the plan, we're going to be using all those comments to help us with those ideas. So next, you'll see the last plan in June had 5 strategies. This version of the plan has 4 strategies. In the previous version, we took strategies 2 and 3 from the previous version and combined them into 1. So to refresh your memory, in the previous version, strategy 2 was build passionate constituencies through community engagement. And the former strategy 3 was connect people to nature and conservation through recreation and stewardship. And as we got comment and we thought about it more, there's a lot of overlap between those 2 strategies. And so we're recommending we simplify that and combine it into 1. And that strategy is now called engage communities through recreation and stewardship. So that's another change you'll see in the plan. Another one is with performance indicators. If you remember back in the previous version, we attempted to identify performance indicators for each of the strategies. This plan, what you'll see, is instead of performance indicators for each strategy, we kind of took a step back and thought over the 25-year period, what might be good measures of our progress, how well we're doing or not. So we kind of took a step back, and you'll see a list of, I think it's 7 overarching goals we're offering for ourselves to reach in 25 years. And then probably the next or the last significant change I'd like to highlight for you is it's a 20-plus page document. So we created a two-pager summary of the plan, and it's called the overview document that you should have, and it basically tries to capture the key points of the entire plan for a quick read, and you can always go to the plan for more detail. So Jeff, anything you want to add? I think those are the highlights I'd like to offer.
No, I think in the interest of time, unless commissioners have any questions, it might be really good. I know one of the biggest things we were hearing in the middle of the process was kind of the rural connectivity and concerns about whether or not we were hearing from rural communities on the plan. So maybe Carrie, if you don't mind plucking us through the extra effort that we went through to make sure we're covering that concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think that feedback was very helpful because not only, let me turn my, try to get my camera on here. I don't know if I can. There we go. Not only did we apply it to this process, but we've also taken that feedback to heart and applied it to our other processes that are going on right now as well. So we have a number of outreach efforts currently underway, and we've included the steps I'm going to tell you about here in that work as well. So one of the things we did do is make sure that we could provide a printed version to folks who aren't able because of a reduced internet access or maybe slow access who wouldn't be able to download that plan. So we did make that available and send that out to all of our liaisons and advisory committee folks, asking them to pass that information along, knowing, of course, that that's an imperfect system because it also requires email. But many people do have email on their phones. They can also access all this information on their phones and participate by the phone. One of the things we also did is send get a flyer out to all of our vendors who sell licenses across the state. Now, normally we might send flyers to places like post offices and to libraries and those places where people congregate, certainly our offices, but a lot of those areas are closed right now. And so you aren't able to put the posters and the flyers that you might normally put up. But places that are open include our distributors, our licensed distributors. So we had contact information on there where people could use a phone, they can call us, and they can have us physically mail them a copy. We didn't have a lot of people take us up on that opportunity, but we have provided that option for all of our other planning efforts going on as well. Nonetheless, one of the things we do know is that we have very active social media communities across the state, not just in urban areas, but in rural areas too. And so we were able to do some targeted promotions to areas that so that we could get a broad representation of thoughts and targeted a lot of rural communities as well as our urban communities. And we're able to achieve about a 50% rural versus urban. They're just getting the information out there that they can participate. And we saw a lot of participation. And we overall were able to get comments from about 550 members of the general public, which is much higher than we ever anticipated being able to achieve with this effort. So I feel I feel like that was a very strong effort. And in fact, we ended up getting, in terms of individual visits, 3,500 people came to our strategic plan page, which I think for a process that is important, but maybe doesn't have the same sensationalism as some of our other topics, I'm pretty happy with those results. At the end of the day, when people filled out our summary form online, we were able to see that for a portion of those, not the entire segment, for a portion of those, though, we were able to achieve pretty high Eastern Washington versus Western Washington results. I think our results were about 60% Eastern Washington and 40% Western Washington participation. So I feel like, you know, we did get a broad spectrum of input. And what was interesting was we found that regardless of where you were coming from or where you lived, a lot of the concerns were the same and a lot of the support for individual feedback was the same. And so we have consistency across the board, for example, for transparent processes and science-based processes. Like that was universally something that people felt was very important and that they provided that feedback to us, not only when they looked at items and scored them, but also in the direct comments back to us. So we didn't see a big difference in perspective along those lines. There were differences in perspective in some areas. I think that one of the really interesting things we did in this process, I think, was in our social media, we know that not everyone's gonna spend 10 to 15 minutes linking through and providing us a really thorough feedback. We know that not everybody has the ability to spend that time on a strategic plan feedback. So one of the things we offered was a way for people to at least provide us a quick nudge, like say, hey, I respond to this. And we provided our strategies to them and the tactics under them and just ask them, what resonates with you? What is the thing that you think we really need to start tomorrow? It was super urgent. And we, through that process, we were able to get about 900 people to give us feedback, which of course, because we're asking less of them, we had a much higher participation rate. And of course, they didn't spend the same time that someone who provided us a letter with lots and lots and lots of thoughts into it did. But it was still a helpful indication. And what was interesting is we saw the same thing. We saw the support for the same topics that people who really spent a lot of time were excited about too. So I guess what I'd say was what was surprising to me in the feedback that we saw was the consistency across these various groups. And even when you started to break it out and look for differences, it was very consistent. I'm not going to go into the details of that. I think we have a presentation on that, or maybe we're saving that for tomorrow. I'm not sure, Rob, but if you have any questions about the process and how we were able to achieve, I think our final reach on social media, where we achieved the 50% rural, 50% urban statistics, was about over 200,000. Jeff, am I forgetting anything that you would want to cover about the outreach process?
No, you nailed it. Thanks, Carrie. And I do think we have slides. My recollection is that we have slides tomorrow that will show kind of that distribution of the comments that we got and the efforts that you just spoke to. Any commissioners with any questions about that before Rob talks us through just the next few steps?
Well, I will just add that one of the items that we saw a lot of support for, in case you were curious, was the action item that expands ways for the Fish and Wildlife Commission to meet with the public. So get ready.
Okay, well, let's keep going. Rob, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me okay, Barbara?
Yep.
Next steps. So we present to the larger commission tomorrow to give similar highlights and a little bit more information in the presentation, answer their questions. But then the ask is of the commission to consider it over the next couple of weeks, because I believe we come back to you in a teleconference or another meeting on October 2nd. And that's when the department is going to ask if the commission can endorse the plan. So that's really the next big step. And then depending on your guidance and the larger commission's guidance at that point will help us determine our next steps. Do we now start going into implementation, or do we need to, you know, focus on adjusting something of the plan? Jeff, is there anything else that I missed?
No, I think once we get the endorsement, we go into implementation mode. Admittedly for me, we have some, based on some of the public comments, we have a history of saying things are living documents and not necessarily living up to that statement. And so there is still quite a bit of work that we have to do around those performance measures and tracking those performance measures and presenting the overall performance to the public so that this truly can become a living document that guides those enhanced conservation efforts and that enhanced public engagement strategy that we talk about in the plan. So I have to say that from my perspective, we're in a spot where this plan is about getting us started on a journey about protecting and restoring habitat that provides sustainable fish and wildlife populations for all residents and their needs and expectations, and managing the impacts of that those conservation efforts on residents as well. I feel sometimes that we're on a slippery slope, sliding the wrong direction, getting to the place where we're implementing this plan with enhanced conservation, we're really setting ourselves up and you up, quite frankly, for addressing a lot of the concerns that we heard from the public. If it were hunters and anglers, you know, we got a lot of like, hey, folks, we're not going in the right direction. We'd love to have a higher quality and more quantity of experiences from the conservation folks. Overall, we kind of heard the, hey, it's about time. Can't wait for that strong partnership that you're talking about and enhanced collaboration. And I think that this plan will set us up for better serving all of the public's needs and maybe getting to the point that I'm trying to make really is while we all may not benefit or receive the maximum benefit of the actions that we'll take through this plan, for me, you know, I have a 10-year-old daughter and I want to make sure that she fishes and has the opportunity to walk in the woods and see the five spike true spikes that we have in the Clockham. So it's about, you know, our kids, and for me, it's about our, you know, my kids and our kids and the grandkids and them being able to make their own choices about management and the experiences that they want to have with sustainable fish and wildlife populations long into the future. So I'm excited. I do want to say, I'm just super proud of the team. Rob and Lynn and Carrie and Kevin Warden and my teammate Amy. I don't think people get to see like how much work has really gone into this and how diligent we really have tried to be, listening to understand, trying to capture people's comments, whether they be in a very, very detailed implementation comment that we have captured so we can use that moving forward in the implementation, or whether it be to pull those public comments up into this plan at the elevation that it's written at. And so I just want to thank the team. It's massive work. It's some of the best quality work I've ever seen in my 20 years at the department. And I want to thank all of you for all your hard work and leadership, quite frankly, moving through this. I also, and maybe, you know, obviously I'm biased when I say this, but I think it's the truth that you all may not realize that other state fish and wildlife agencies are contacting us to talk about this cutting edge approach that we are taking. I know I shipped a copy, an earlier draft copy to the director of Nevada Game. And they were asking like, wow, 25 years, tell us more about that. And wow, you guys are like bold enough to say human population. And wow, like you're starting from the foundation of climate change and resiliency and how that might affect fish and wildlife populations now and into the future. Tell us more about that. So I don't want to lose sight that this really is a big deal. This is cutting edge, and you all should be proud of kind of helping us navigate that moving forward. Now, that's not to say we don't have a ton of work. I've looked at all of the public comments that came in, and suffice to say, we have significant opportunity to improve based on how the public feels about us and the actions we take. And maybe this gets to the rural community piece too. I do want to support the director, support the commission, support Carrie's shop, in showing up in these communities in person and learning, listening to understand what they think their challenges are, and trying to create some solutions that address those. Suffice to say, we have a history based on some of the comments of saying things like, this is a living document, we'll change it, or showing up in a meeting. And the perception is we just showed up so that we could check the box that we met with those people. There's also concerns about our advisory groups and whether or not those are, special interest groups, and do they represent, all of the residents in the state of Washington. So we've learned a ton, and there's a lot more work to do. And quite frankly, I'm excited to work with all the communities, play a role in that, helping us all engage better with the public that we all serve or represent. So anyway, this is just a first baby step from my perspective, but it's a big one, and it's a cutting edge one. And I'm really proud of the team for all the effort that they did and listening to understand and capture people's comments and tried to incorporate everything that we could in this plan moving forward.
And I just have to do a little shout out. Sorry, Jeff, but you said you read every comment you did. That's 75 pages of comments, and it's pretty extensive. So it's not a light and easy read. And I appreciate you taking the time to really hear the public that way.
Okay, well, this is Commissioner Baker. I just want to remind us that we have followed this plan every step of the way. I deliberately say follow because the point of this plan has been from the beginning to try to craft something that is forward-thinking, but that is developed in large part by the people that we serve. And we had some suggestions for improvements as well along the way. And one that I pounded on was that the plan was too long. It was repetitive in many places. The language was aspirational and kind of fluffy and didn't really, in my mind, lend itself to specific actions and performance measures. You all have done a remarkable job of fixing much of that. This plan is shorter. The language has been sharpened. And if commission members don't have a chance to sit down and read the whole thing, I would direct you to pages 12 and 13 and 16 and 17, which is where the actions and the outcomes are bulleted. And ask if, as you look through those items, it's actually hard for me to find a way to object or disagree with any of them. But if there are reasons to object or disagree with any of them, that would be really good feedback. Finally, the beauty of this thing to me is obviously the objective, which is that we still have fish and wildlife and public lands in 25 years for our grandkids and their kids to enjoy. So that's really the point of this to me. But we have been, when we start talking about things like climate change, which is just such an enormous issue that we as Fish and Wildlife can't even begin to address on its own, on our own, we have got to establish partnerships, not only with interest groups and our citizens and the legislature and the governor, but especially with the other agencies that are trying to address facets of the same problems that we are, because we can't effectively do anything about so many of those issues. Warm water comes to mind. There's overlapping turf between us and DNR and DOE on that. Forest health is a huge one that everybody's thinking about right now as the West is on fire. We have to have partnerships that work with the other agencies that are spending public money to deal with the same problems. And the fact that in this state, those agencies are led by different political outcomes. Some are appointed, some are elected, some are like us, a commission-based organization, puts some barriers to those partnerships. And I think it's incumbent upon us to be very strong on getting that established. So I'd also like to just end with reminding commissioners that this is not a policy. This is not a policy document, it's a plan, and there is a difference. So how we implement this plan may affect our policies. Hopefully they will, but it's not a policy document on its own. So I also want to commend all of you and thank you for working as hard as you have, coming up with iterations of a product that you were proud of, and then hearing criticism after criticism. And instead of taking it personally, you just buckled down and fixed it or addressed the concerns, which is exactly how this plan should get developed. So with that, I'd love to hear from the other commissioners if there is input.
Commissioner Thorburn, go ahead.
Thank you.
So my congratulations and awe at the team as well. I have had a chance to see some of your efforts, but not all of them. It's just been a phenomenal pull that you've given and will in the future. I have some still, and I know you've heard from me frequently throughout this process, I still have some language comments that I'd like to talk about. It's turning to the needs of tomorrow section. And the issue of values, which I heard Jeff say, "Whoa, respond to all Washingtonians," and the trepidation that I think I heard in your voice, Jeff, as you said that. And I think what that boils down to is this issue around values, as we recognize, and as said in this, there are diverse values among Washington's residents in regard to wildlife. But their values, those are personal on the extremes. They're almost religious. I mean, we can talk about Christian evangelical dominionism, we can talk about extreme animal rightism, and on those extremes, those values really aren't very compatible with our mission, which I sum up as using conservation science to effectively manage our wildlife for the public trust. And the public trust is really an important concept, because that gets to managing for all Washingtonians now and into the future. A lot of the values are around how people appreciate wildlife. And part of the public trust responsibilities for us is we recognize and support both consumptive and non-consumptive uses for wildlife. I think because at the extreme ends of the spectrum of values, those, especially on the animal rightism end of the spectrum, that those values are contrary to consumptive uses, And we began to get a little nervous about that and how are we going to mediate that and blah. I'm looking at the sentence, decisions must reflect that Washington's residents hold diverse values and interests related to the state's fish and wildlife. And I'm wondering about really what does reflect that Washington's residents hold these diverse values mean? And I'll use from my own profession examples. There are Washington residents who are anti-vaxxers. Those are values. There are Washington residents who are anti-fluoridationists. Those are values. Those are values that are contrary to my responsibility as a public health professional to protect and promote the health of the community. I in my profession am not going to reflect to those values. I'm going to deflect to those values because they're contrary to my mission. And I think that trying to feeling like we're trying to represent all Washingtonians with these values that are sometimes contrary to our mission is impossible, and we need to be very straightforward about that. Moving down to the next paragraph, it says more residents in Washington are expressing values supporting living in conjunction with fish and wildlife. Well, many still hunt and fish for healthy natural protein source. People hunt and fish for many reasons. And actually, we promote hunting and fishing as an opportunity more than, for people to sustain themselves or whatever. It is part of the opportunity to enjoy fish and wildlife in the way that people choose to do it. Values are about how we choose to enjoy the fish and wildlife. They're my personal values. I enjoy birding, but I don't have to insist that that's the only way that people enjoy fish and wildlife. What we need to do is understand the values and just ensure that the way the values are applied are allowing us to use our conservation science to manage wildlife to the public trust. Some of this wording concerns me that it looks like we're gonna choose among the values. We're not choosing among the values. Values are personal and they belong to people, and we're managing wildlife using conservation science for the public trust. And the public trust is about people enjoying fish and wildlife now and into the future. I agree that the department must evolve to reduce disruptive conflict arising from these diverse values. But that probably is setting us up for something that's impossible, because an animal rightist is going to have conflict with a Christian, evangelical Christian dominionist. And we can't resolve that conflict. That exists. You know, we just need to keep our eye on the ball that we're using conservation science to manage fish and wildlife for the public trust. So I pointed out some sentences in here that give me real concern. We need to just acknowledge that there are diverse values. We try to understand them, but some of them are even contrary to doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I would like to probably see some changes in the language that I pointed out. So that's basically what I have to say.
So Commissioner Linville, I see your hand is up.
Yes, thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm sorry to interject. This isn't my subcommittee, but I wanted to bring a message from the people. people really noticed the change in reaching out to the rural perspective, and that was appreciated so much. So I just want to say thank you for doing that. And then one constructive criticism that's sort of past the point, but maybe we can think about it on future projects. The language on the survey came across as a little buzzwordy or hoity-toity, or I'm not sure what the appropriate word is. And I got that feedback from a lot of people. They said, well, yeah, gosh, I filled out the survey, but I'm not even sure I really understood some of the questions. And so that was maybe a little bit of a language. So just a small constructive criticism with a big heap of thanks for getting out to those folks, because it was really appreciated.
Are there any other hands up? I can't really see.
I don't see any, Commissioner Baker.
So, first off, I'd like to make sure that Kim is connected with the appropriate person to be specific on the edits that she is suggesting. I'm not sure how to connect the two right people, but I know you guys know, so I'd ask the appropriate staff person to reach out to Commissioner Thorburn. With respect to thinking about her her talking points there, it seems to me that I think I agree with you, Kim, that there is no way that we can operationalize the values of every single person who lives in the state toward conservation. And using your anti-vaxxer and public health analogy or example, I think what this plan does is also place a very, very high priority on science. So the way that I look at it, we need to be able to, if we are on the fence on a values question, then, well, we apply science one way or the other, but then we rely even more on whatever the best available science is at that point in time. And we can't, I don't see any way to predict what that will be, but I believe that the medical profession relies very, very heavily on science. And as I read through this document, it seems to rely very heavily on science. So I'd be very interested in how we better thread that needle. And if you have language, Kim, or if the staff has language to help alleviate some of those concerns, I'd love to see it. So that's, I don't know if, does any of the staff have a want to engage in this discussion, or is this something that has been under consideration as we've gone through?
Yeah, I feel like we're trying. So I think it would be super helpful for us to connect directly with Commissioner Thorburn. I think we have been hearing her and trying different words to try to resolve it. And so I think a direct conversation and kind of editing that will really be helpful, because we don't disagree. There, the ends of the spectrum are the ends of the spectrum, and they're the least likely to move. That said, the vast majority of the residents are somewhere along that bell curve in the middle. And how do we, one, respect those values, understand them to the best of our ability, and then merge in the science side of it along with our mandates in order to best serve you know, the whole public. At the end of the day, you know, I don't lose sight of the fact that you all and we all have a preserve, protect, perpetuate, and manage mandate. And that's, I take that pretty seriously, not just for today and selling licenses or watchable wildlife opportunities today, but we have to pass the baton to the people that are gonna sit in our chairs after us. And so we have a responsibility to maximize their opportunity and decision space around fish and wildlife management and opportunities long into the future. So we will connect, the team will connect with Commissioner Thorburn and see if we can get some better language that doesn't serve as concerning or agitating as the current language might. So it sounds like we're all on the same page. We just need to find the best words to alleviate the concern.
And Jeff, I recognize the responsiveness to my input. So I thank you for that. But yeah, I do think it would be good for us to have a discussion. I look forward to that.
Yeah, and I just super quickly, like the way I think about it is we have our Colorado State University work, the Washington report that came out. And so when we think about values, and I apologize about lingo, but when we think about values, you know, there's the distance people, those are the end of the spectrum, but can we maybe pull some of those into the mutualist area? And then how do we, you know, I think we have some responsibility for understanding the pluralist and mutualist and how can we operate and best serve those values in the decisions and actions we take. So I feel like this is a starting place to help people further engage and take interest in fish and wildlife and the opportunities that we provide. And I don't want to lose sight of, you know, when we talk about values, there's another part of science, which is the social science, human dimension science. And as we grow that ability and capacity in that area, it can help us more effectively propose things that help us best serve that public. But I'm with you. My experience is the ends of the spectrum are dug in pretty deep and are less likely to move in either direction. So let's get the language right.
Mm-hmm. This is Barbara once again. We also need to note that there's another place where the commission will directly have a chance to say our piece about this thing. And that is on the front page of the document that we were provided. There's a big blank space that's called message from the commission. And it seems very daunting right now to figure out a way to say what we're all trying to say and probably agreeing with, although we haven't seen the language. But that's another opportunity, Commissioner Thorburn, where we could maybe just tackle this directly and make the point that while we will not be able to incorporate everyone's values in every decision that's made, they will at least be heard. And my feeling is that for us to get the trust that we are looking for from the citizens of the state, generally and specifically, if we don't incorporate a value, we need to be able to clearly explain why. And that messaging has been difficult for the department at times. And I think we need to get much better at proactively explaining ourselves in terms that are easy for people to understand and that comport with the mission, for lack of a better word, with the objectives of this document. So that's another thing that I think we need to be able to do. And I think kudos to Carrie and her group. We're getting better at that. Social media is pretty weird, but we can say the best thing on social media. We have a whole lot of razor clams and we're going to dig them. And people will come back and carp at us and criticize us and say mean things. And we are in real time, have people somewhere sitting at a desk, not getting angry, not calling people names or anything, but explaining our decision. And in some cases, possibly changing our decisions. So there's a lot we can do with that values piece. And so I guess what I'm saying is that we haven't even thought about what that message from the commission should say. And maybe this is part of it. Okay, I see that there's two hands, but I don't see who they are.
It's Commissioner Linville and Carrie.
Okay, let's go with Commissioner Linville first.
I just didn't lower my hand earlier. I apologize. I don't have anything.
okay, so Carrie.
Okay, and I'm just learning how to raise my hand, so I apologize as well. But I think one of the things that you'll find interesting tomorrow in our presentation is we did pull some of the comments that were sort of at either end of a spectrum, and we're presenting those to you to kind of give you an idea how diverse the feedback we received was on the plan. So I think we saw in the comments firsthand that yes, there is a big spectrum out there, and we're very cognizant of it. So that will maybe be interesting to you tomorrow.
So I'm interested. Thank you for that, Carrie. Commissioner Smith and Commissioner McIsaac, you guys have been very quiet. Not to put you on the spot, but do you have anything to add?
No, it's from my perspective, I'm appreciative of all of the work that's gone in. And I think like many of us, we've been down, you know, this isn't a new rodeo for us doing strategic planning, and it's always a challenge. But I liked Kim's observations and analogies, very appropriate. And I like Jeff's follow-up that the ends of the spectrum are just that, the ends of the spectrum. And it's, you know, sometimes when you get to that end, they start looking a lot more alike than they do at the opposite ends. But incorporating the values, we can't please everybody, letting the public know that we are attentive to values. And I like what you said, Barbara, too, about that opening part that we have an opportunity to make a declaratory statement. You know, that will be good. But going into this, recognizing you're not going to make everybody happy, but, you know, I think the effort is good faith, and I think the feedback is good. And for Jeff to read 75 pages is, you get the Star Award today on your forehead, homeschooling. And it's a good effort. So I was really happy to hear everything, and I look forward to, I've gone through a lot of it, but I look forward to seeing the presentation tomorrow. So kudos, crew. Thanks.
Yeah, Barbara, let me just say I agree with Commissioner Smith on this. I apologize for the background noise here on the phone recorder. But yeah, I just agree with Commissioner Smith on this. And if Jeff is done with the 75 pages of public comment on the strategic plan, perhaps he could take up the Columbia River public comment next and see how long it takes him to get through that one.
Well, I'd like to say that.
If I could just do a follow up on the public comment, you know, being in the commission for just about 12 years, the last couple of years, the nature of the public comment has gotten increasingly, hostile maybe, pointed, opinionated. I could think of a lot of other words that are not flattering as well, but it seems that it's just intensifying. So reading the emails that we're getting that Nikki is sending out every day, it's like every day, if you think they couldn't get nastier, but they are. So I don't know how we address that. Well, I know how I will address it in a few weeks, but it's just a challenge to society right now. And I think that exacerbates that the ends of the spectrum, empowers the ends of the spectrum even more. So that's my social commentary. I will exit on that one.
Does anyone else have a comment? I'm pleased to think that we might actually have a committee meeting that lasts an hour. I think an hour is the appropriate length for any meeting. That was one of my rules at the legislature. Also, I had people stand up rather than sit down with their coffee and snacks and everything else. They thought that was very punitive. But one observation I want to have is that this is a document that so far I'm pretty proud of. And it's the kind of pride that you have without a lot of effort. The commissioner's effort on this has been sitting in these meetings and reading these documents and making comment, but we're standing on the shoulders of people who really have put an enormous amount of time into a groundbreaking document. I remember someone said a few meetings ago that, you know, in 25 years, I hope that we adopt some version of this plan, and that in 25 years, people look back and say, hey, man, those people really had it going. They knew what they were talking about. And while we're trying to craft something where it's the people of the state's voice that's being heard, I just want to say that I'm proud, and I really don't have any personal reason to be so. And so that's, once again, thanking the staff for all the work they've done on this and having the vision to craft it in a way that makes some sense. So are there any other comments, sort of final comments from commissioners or staff? Well, then with that, we can send Kim off to the important business that she has to attend to before more committee meetings that we will all be sitting in later today. I miss seeing all of you in person. I really miss that. And I think that this is a good time to adjourn this meeting. We will be pleased to sit through the full presentation on this plan sometime tomorrow. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.